The scripture is Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as it was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good." The word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson, if you will stand for the gospel lesson, let us. This is the gospel of Matthew 24:36. Let's wait till the sermon. Ken? Can we wait just 1 second? Let's listen to the scripture. "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for we do not know of what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Celebrations of Advent to you. Did you know we're in Advent?
I have a ladybug here.
Hello, ladybug. Where did you come from? And can we? Well, ladybug is. It might be a gentleman bug. I'm not sure. But anyway, all right. That was a joke. Happy Advent. Now, us, we're all churchy types. We're used to this stuff. We know what Advent means. It means Christmas, right? It means coming. But we all associate, if we talk about this season of Advent, it means about Christmas. And that's wrong. You're right. It's about something that's going to arrive, something that's coming, something that's on its way. Now, intriguingly, there is a season of Christmas in our liturgical year, and it will come after Christmas Day. But this year, and with Epiphany and the schedule, there is no Christmas Sunday. Just the way it all fell together. How many of you would just pass by Christmas this year? Good. Me neither. Now, by the end of Christmas, after Christmas Day, I don't know about you, but I've noticed radio stations, all of a sudden, they're not playing Christmas carols anymore. And the stores. How many of you have heard Christmas carols in stores already? It's on its way already, isn't it? So we as a society have kind of begun to celebrate that Christmas spirit time as we lead up to the 25th. And Don and I talked about this and decided hymns will be a piece of where we are and how we are in the midst of Advent and where we journey. But as we think about that, it's important to remember that coming is not the same coming. It's not the same one that kids think about. You know what kids think about with Christmas?
Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
How many of us are still tiny tots with our eyes all aglow? Some of us are tiny tots with our eyes all blurry and worn out. But you heard the scripture this morning. This coming, it's the coming of Christ. It's not talking about Christmas Day, the birth of the baby. It's talk about the second. It's talking about the end of time. Now, the word for that is eschatos.
Say that with me, eschatos. And if you want to study it, it's called eschatology. Eschatology. Say it once. Eschatology. You are also wise. Talking about that which will be the coming of Christ, the final time, that gathering together in the end of all things. And there's many studies and things. One will be taken, one will be left. We understand that. I think it's always intriguing when I see books and videos and things of people that saying, buy my book and I can tell you all the signs that are in the Bible and what's happening and when. It's decoding the Bible. It's interpreting all the signs so that I can tell you the secrets. But our Scripture says no one knows the day and hour, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. They're hoping you haven't read that. It's interesting, if you look at your Bibles, and I want all of you to go home and look at your Bibles, some of them will not include that the Son of Man does not know. See, that Scripture says nobody knows, not even the Son of Man, Jesus, knows the coming, the time of the coming, only God. But scribes, at some point early in the career of the Bible, they read that and they thought, well, Jesus has to know everything. And so they decided to take his speech and edit it and leave that piece out. Isn't that fun? They put him on such a high pedestal that they modified his very words. So the second coming will come unexpectedly, but we are to be prepared every moment at all times. But that's Advent. And that is partly what we should be about and how we are about it, but let's also be about Christmas. Is that all right? I want to make that motion. Who's the chair here? I make a motion that we include Christmas in this Advent season. Any objections? We got a second there. All in favor? How about that? Robert rules of order here in the church. So from a Christian perspective, what is coming? What are we expecting? What do you want for Christmas? Now, any kid, you asked the kids who were up here, and maybe we should have done that this morning, what's the first step in the Christmas process? And we all know what it is. You need to make a list, don't you? How many of you have made your Christmas list? I actually got a couple of hands at Jefferson Avenue, and some of them were quite adult people, and I was quite impressed. But we need to make our Christmas list. That's the name of the title of the sermon, by the way, the list. We're talking about that list, the list of what do we want? Now, different time. Think back when you were kiddos. What did you put on your Christmas list? The latest toy, the doodad, the thing. Nowadays, as we get a little older, it's the latest electronic, the latest iPhone, or the, you know, this doodad or that toy. Or when we were kids, you'd get a toy that'd last maybe a week, maybe a month. If it was really noisy, not a day. The worst present, guys. I gotta just check with you. Did you ever get underwear for Christmas? One year, my brother and I got underwear for Christmas. We gave my mother a look. She never did that again. Come on, Mom. Here we are as adults now, and so our Christmas list is different, isn't it? And we heard what the bishop just read to us, and we think about our Christmas list. And if we could indeed put something on our prayer list, how many of you, like me, would say world peace? And justice. Okay. Okay, we're done. Let's just leave it to God. God, take care of this for me, will you? We are not doing our due diligence if we leave it there without contemplating what's going on. You might have noticed Melissa and I got haircuts a couple of weeks ago. She is just tickled with her haircut, and she still washes her hair twice a day. She loves shampooing her hair. I didn't think there was enough hair there to shampoo twice a day. But you like shampoo in your hair, don't you, Melissa? Yes, she does. She's grinning from ear to ear, too. The reason I bring that up, the stylist that cut my hair had a strong accent. I said, where's your accent from? She said, Colombia. I said, ah, Colombia. I said, we've been to Costa Rica. We've been to other places. I've been to Haiti. I've never been to Colombia. She said, you probably wouldn't bring a group to Colombia. It's too dangerous. Somebody after worship at Jefferson Avenue talked about a coworker of his who was shipped to Colombia to work down there. He was killed down there. It has been awful. They've been in the middle of a civil war. We haven't been much aware of, but there's this opposition group, and they're called FARC, F-A-R-C. It's something in Spanish. I don't know what it is. But for 50 years, they've been at war. 50 years, killing, kidnapping, atrocities, violence. If you lived in Colombia, what would your prayer have been? Peace, the end of this conflict. Yes? So the gal, she said, well, we have a new president, she said, and he's worked out a peace treaty. His name is Juan Manuel Santos. And he's got a peace treaty. Have you seen it on the news? They've got a peace treaty to end this war in Colombia. Amen. And she said, well, she said, the people are not very happy about it. And I waited, and she said, they did awful things. They kidnapped and killed and tortured, and they have just been awful, and we think they ought to be punished. So if you're praying for peace, is it, I want peace for me, but those guys need to get, you need to get after them. Is that how world peace works? Is that how? Okay. Let's go back to Jesus' time. Can we travel through time here? Don, where's the controls for the time machine in the sanctuary here? Do you have them on your side there? Oh, they're here somewhere? Okay, well, we'll just put on your historical lenses. Let's travel back to the time just before Jesus' birth. You're living in Jerusalem. You're living in Israel. What's it like? The Roman Empire has conquered you, oppresses you. If you speak out, they kill you. They tax you. They put puppet kings in charge of you. Getting a sense of how it felt? So their prayer list might have said, we pray for peace. And that prayer, if they envisioned it, would probably mean we want Romans, the entire Roman Empire, to be destroyed. We want all these legions to be killed and get out of our hair. So that, is that peace or is that peace for me and too bad for you? So think about that. Think about how that would have felt and to pray for that and to pray for peace. It's like the citizens of Colombia. If you pray for peace, are you ready to really be about that peace and some of the forgiveness and some of the collegiality that has to be a part of that? Peace for the world, peace for the nation. Our nation needs that right now. Peace for our communities. Peace for our churches. All of those. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Let's go back to the Christmas list. I think that's the easiest. We just say, Lord, fix this. Lord, fix that car fender I dented yesterday. I just fix that and make that go away. That was my fault and I want it to be gone. Lord, fix my health. I have neglected taking care of myself for years and years. Will you fix it and make me all better? Lord, make my neighbors more likable. Make those who are politically different-minded than me, make them think like I do. Those are not prayers of peace. Even a baby Christian would sit and look at us and laugh. So how do we pray differently? How do we express that in a different way? Jane did a good job with the liturgy this morning. Psalm 122. Peace be within you. These were pilgrims. That psalm is a pilgrim psalm. They would gather together. They would say, okay, we're going to gather in the square at such and such a time. Some of them would sleep overnight so that they're all prepared and they didn't get into trouble and weren't unclean. And then they would make a pilgrimage into the town and pray for the town and the church and the government and its people. And we hear all of that praying. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good is part of the prayer. That's a prayer. I will seek your good. So let's go back to that time just before Jesus' birth where the Hebrews are praying, praying, and God answered their prayer. Think about the answer that God gave to the prayer of the people. A naked baby born in a manger to poor parents.
What an answer to prayer. How many of us would accept that? Is that what we want? Somebody totally dependent, helpless? But there's something about that. There's something about him needing to be taken care of and people helping each other and Mary and Joseph taking care of him and then the Egyptians taking care of the entire family when they fled Herod and that innocent helplessness. What does that say to us? Centered on God. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Okay, make your Christmas list. Make it, write it out. You don't have to send it into the church. You don't even have to email it in, but you make your list what it is you want and think a moment about what you're asking and what it asks of you in the name of Christ. Welcome to Advent. Amen.